Well, good morning, Texas. This program is number 81, and this is for Friday morning after a three-day break. Not that it was a vacation break or anything, but had some major technology issues with my computer all of a sudden. Don't you just hate it when they update your programs and start throwing pop-ups at you and advertisements and your program is going to fall apart, your computer is going to blow up, your house is going to burn down, and your green grass is going to turn into concrete, all sorts of things they threaten you with on there. So I finally had to do a system restore and a bunch of deletes, and we got it going again. I hope the music was enjoyable for you the last couple of days. We should be able to get rolling again. I guess program 81 that I did the other night was a total washout by the time I got to the station. Got a good man watching over that station in Matt Gray, so appreciate his help and his guidance and his patience and understanding as well. We have been looking back 4 days ago, if you remember correctly. We had been looking at my comment, of which it states, go ahead, read the Gospels, just don't reject them, as the hypers do. They just say, follow Paul, follow Paul only, which is fine to follow Paul only, but they also tell you there's no point of reading the Gospels, there's no point of reading the Old Testament, there's no point of reading ahead in time, da-da-da-da. No, the whole Bible, Genesis to Revelation, the Word of God, it's the Scripture. It's the Scriptures. You need to read the whole thing. It's just that Paul's books are the ones that are written to us as Gentiles. You've heard me say that in previous 80 programs. You'll hear me say it again tonight. Then I also say, go ahead, read the Gospels, just don't change them. And we went through a couple of verses that they've changed, Matthew 6:7, Matthew 4:4, Matthew 25:31. The things that they've changed are very serious, and we just did a few of them. There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. There's verses missing. There's verses that are completely opposite of what the King James said. How can God be so wrong? How can the world be so different today that God would have just the opposite of what he said to the world the previous 400 years? Is that King James Bible really archaic? Does it really not know what's going on? I'll be the first to say, since I've looked into this King James issue and became a King James-only Bible guy, from being a pastor, from being a music teacher, from being a radio star personality, yeah, right, I have come to believe that this Bible, this King James Bible, is more relevant today than it's ever been. You can see what the tribulation is going to be. We're not looking for signs. I don't call them signs, but I call them clues. There's some clues out there that things are really not just falling apart. They're being changed. The whole world is coming together because we're coming apart here in America. So this has to take place. All you got to do is get into Romans chapter 11, verse 22, where it says, when the Gentile nation are not interested in the goodness of God, and I've said it before, that the goodness of God is only, I wish somebody would write and challenge me, is only taught by Paul. It is only found in the King James Bible. Some of you listeners out there, doesn't that just stir you up enough to maybe drop me a quick postcard? Or to maybe call me on my cell phone. It's a public number, 509-876-1611, of course. Email me, susaman@bechtel.com, BEKTEL.com. Get on my website, www.scatteredchristians.org, and read up on some of this stuff. My house address, my post office box address, it's all available. These things I say, don't they stir you just a little bit, either one way or the other? When Paul was teaching what Paul was teaching, he really upset the cities. He upset people. Or they were full of joy because of what they realized the risen Christ had done for them and to them. So let's get some reaction. Let's get some response out there from the listeners, from the hearers. Or can you not hear, just like he said, are your ears plugged? Are you just listening for what you have the itching for, so you can scratch the itches that you have? Are there certain things that only you want to hear, regardless of what Bible, regardless of what preacher, regardless of what artist that draws it? Is it all music? Do you get all your teaching from your music? Are you happy with what you got? Are you mad at God? Do you think God is not in existence? Well, why would you be listening to this Christian radio station if you thought God was not in existence? So I guess I don't need to bring that one up. Of course, unless you dislike the music. But we won't talk about music tonight. Let's get into this here. Program number 81. Let's go to part 3. Go ahead, read the Gospels. Just don't, one, reject them. There's still something to read. It's still about the Lamb of God. It's still the way of God during the Gospel days. Two, don't change them with these modern Bibles. Remember, Mark 16's got 11 verses missing, right? Just right there. And then tonight we're going to look at, don't teach them. Well, what do you mean, don't teach the Gospels? You can read them, you can learn about the history, and so they can be taught. Well, sure they can, and they need to be taught. But they don't need to be taught with signs proving their truth, with signs proving your gain is God's blessing. They don't need to be taught as law, the laws, the teachings that are applicable to us today to please God. And don't teach them as your personal testimony. Don't tell people you read what you read in John and you believed and, you know, for God so loved the world and all these classic verses that are out there. Those verses are not there for us to quote to apply to our lives. Okay, so let's go back and let's check this out. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28. We're going to go down here to verse 19, and we're going to go to what the two places for the Great Commission. The infamous Baptistic, Pentecostalistic, witness the world, win the world over to Christ, win the world to Jesus, conquer the world. By the way, Jesus Christ, when he comes back in Revelation 19, does not come back to conquer the world. Revelation chapter 6, the Antichrist comes down, and it uses the word conquer. The bunny trail there for you. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Or, as my Lutheran past would say, Amen. Now, that looks good, doesn't it? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Well, that's fine. Baptizing them, well, there's that water baptism again, because that's what they're talking about. Ask any pastor out there. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And I've heard pastors say that if you teach, if you baptize by saying and of the Holy Spirit, then that baptism doesn't count. What do you mean the baptism doesn't count? A water baptism means nothing to God, but let's just say that it did. Why would changing and of the Holy Ghost to the Holy Spirit change the baptism? What do you mean it doesn't count? Doesn't register for salvation, like you believe? What does it prove when you say, I'm telling you, don't people hear the confusion? Don't you folks out there hear your pastor say things that you think, wait a minute, that doesn't sound right? Is that how God really operates? You know, it's no wonder that people either are mad at God or don't understand God, leave God, and throw the whole thing out the window. It's such a mess out there. A simple, rightly divided King James Bible not only cleans things up, it brings the truth to the front of the table, and then there's no hatred for God. How could you hate God's goodness? That doesn't make sense, does it? And yet, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he actually asks that question. Despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? You want your family to be saved? You want your friends to be saved? Do you want to make sure you're saved? Then you need to look to the goodness of God. Not the severity, not the fear, not the fact that he's going to chastise you if you don't do the right thing. Don't become little Jewish people that hate Christ enough to kill him. And that's what takes place. All this teaching today in the churches of the Jesus gospel stuff in the Gospels, you know, really, most young people grow up hating that stuff by the time they're done. They know that they get spanked, they know that they get chastised, but it's not from God, it's from their parents. It's from the teachers, it's from their professors, from their pastors even. Sunday school teachers put that fear in them. It's wrong. It's the goodness of God that leadeth people to repentance. So this Great Commission in Matthew, let's finish up that verse, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That makes sense. In other words, what Jesus taught, those things should be observed and taught to other people. But here's the problem. He is talking to the Jews here. He is not talking to us Gentiles. The Gentiles were the heathen. Jesus told his apostles, told his disciples, don't take this stuff to the Gentiles. And now he says, go out there and teach what I have taught to you. Isn't that a contradiction? No, because it's the next step. Because if you go to Mark chapter 16, the last chapter of Mark 16, we get a little bit more details here when he says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen or amen. Take your pick. So, Paul teaches that we don't follow signs. Gentiles don't look for the signs. Paul teaches in 1 Corinthians 13:10, as you hear my pages rustling to 13:10, he says, "Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall fail. They shall cease, Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away." That has to be referring to the King James. I've said this how many times? Anyway, which is in part shall be done. That has to be a King James Bible. Because if we're waiting for Jesus Christ to come back before this thing kicks into gear, then prophesying and speaking in tongues and knowledge without a Bible will still be in effect. Wait a minute. I've even said this before. That's how Christianity is operating today, without a Bible, with feelings, thinking that they're following signs and miracles, with wonders and healings, and yet you have to ignore all of Paul's books to follow the Jesus Gospels. And I have heard, and I've heard that pastors have said, just skip the Paul stuff. Really? So you believe that the scriptures are inerrant? You believe they've been inspired? But you don't believe them preserved? Or if you do believe them preserved, which a lot of King James guys do, obviously man inserted the stuff about Paul, because they ignore Paul and they tell their people to skip Paul. Jesus Christ is risen. And everybody yells, amen. Then what's wrong with following the teachings that the risen Savior talked to Paul to take to the Gentiles? Just read your Bible. That's what it says. Oh, well, we're not going to teach the Gospels for signs for gain. Matter of fact, if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm kind of tired of turning my pages and trying to turn them quietly, so I figured you're just going to start hearing, having to hear my pages flip in my on my recording here. He says here in verse 6, chapter 6, and he's talking about people that correct the scriptures, that change the words, and don't teach what the scriptures teach, and ignore the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, which are King James Bible words, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. People that don't teach that, he says, they are proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. And these people that he just described, then he says, supposing that gain is godliness. See, if people see signs, people see blessings, people see things taking place as a result of their holy walk, or their naughty walk, then they're seeing gain, they're seeing God operate. And he says, listen, these people, they suppose that gain is godliness. And then he says, from such withdraw thyself. Don't keep going to that church. Don't keep listening to that pastor. Careful with your friends. Try to teach them about the Paul stuff. Well, what's this Paul stuff? It's the teachings of the risen Savior to the Gentiles. It's that simple, folks. Let's not teach them as signs. Teach them as history. Teach them as that's when God manifests himself in the flesh. That's when God himself provided himself, he offered himself, Exodus chapter 12, and came down and fulfilled the law, walked the law sinlessly, and yet his own people turned away from him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. So he goes to the Gentiles with Paul. His own received him not. He wouldn't listen to him. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's what the Gospels are all about. The Word, capital W, was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Jews. Okay, so don't teach them as signs and wonders and all this kind of stuff. Teach it as history. Teach it as God on this earth. That's fabulous stuff to learn about. Learn what it was he did. Miracles, fabulous miracles. His parables to the Jews, very interesting stuff. How he handled the devil himself face to face. How he handled a Gentile woman when he said, listen, called her a dog. Remember that story? He did. If you don't remember that story, I know, write to me and I'll tell you about it. And I've got one guy, by the way, your name is Jack. You wrote to me from Glen Heights, Texas. I just got your postcard just the other day because it was sent to Hazen, North Dakota. And this town is Hazelton, Hazelton. So I got your request for a Bible. I'll be getting it out in the mail in the next day or so. And so, Jack, don't mean to be slow, but it was slow getting here. And with all my computer problems in the last couple days and school issues, as I teach K through 12 music classes, I will get this Bible out to you. It's nice to hear from you. It was a good card. And keep in touch. Yes, we got a response from Texas. We're excited. I get responses from all sorts of people because they're getting it from the website. Website? What website? Really? You're not listening? www.scatteredchristians.org, and click on that thing, scroll down just a little bit, and you'll see a site for the Cup of Goodness program. Find all the programs you want, but just feel free to click all over that place, and you'll go to all sorts of different subjects and pictures and stories and studies. You'll never find it all that's in that website. Okay, let's get back to the, how are we doing for time? Uh-oh. Let's keep going here. Don't teach the Gospels as signs with gain. Okay, part two of that is don't teach the Gospels as law. Really, as law? Christ says, through Paul, in Romans chapter 10, this is a classic verse. This is such an important verse. Romans chapter 10. You want to try to tell people stuff? Memorize Romans chapter 10, verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. It's not the end of the law. The law still exists. And if those people want to follow the law, have at it. But they have to follow it exactly as Christ did. But for those that believe, it says here, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. So the law is no longer our judge for righteousness, what's right or wrong. Well, what's the judgment for what's right or wrong? What the risen Savior taught to Paul to teach to us Gentiles. We'll talk about that pretty soon. But basically, what Paul teaches, it's not the law. But it's what we could do to serve Christ and to please God, of which would be rewarded in the judgment seat of Christ. Now I want to stop and talk about the two different judgments that exist, but we won't. The judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and that'll be based on Paul's teachings. How do you know that? Because in Romans chapter 2, verse 16 says, in the days when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, and that's Paul. So Paul's teachings will be used by Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, not to judge our sins. Our sins are not imputed. Well, why do you say that? Because, see, the law has been taken care of. It's not there to them that believe. Am I going too fast for you? Too much in one swallow? Romans chapter 10, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. With that in mind, then we go to Romans chapter 5, verse 13, where it says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So if Christ took care of the law, then their sin will not be imputed. Charge, put on your record. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 4, verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. He's taking care of the law. And that law worketh wrath. He doesn't just not put his wrath on his Christian people. He got rid of the law because it was the law that worketh wrath. Now, is the law still in existence? Yes, it is. For a believer, no, it's not. Here's a dangerous bunny trail. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Let me read you one quick little verse here. This usually throws people into a tizzy-wizzy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. All things are lawful for me. That's what he says to a Christian, following Paul, following the risen Savior, not the gospel people, not the gospel Christians. They're not really Christians. Ooh, did that get you want to write to me? Do you want to call me on that statement? I believe that the people that look to Jesus and the gospel teachings through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John do not truly receive the risen Savior. Come on, that must get you to want to write to me. You're not going to turn your radio off because you want to keep listening to your music when I'm done here. Or you want to listen to The Money Man or something. But doesn't that irk you that I would say, all things are lawful unto me? But it does go on and say, but all things are not expedient. And it says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought into the power of any. And we're not to stumble. And we're not to quench and grieve the Spirit of God. So yeah, there are some strings attached, but none of them are considered sins. It's just the things that will burn in the judgment seat of Christ. You do know these things, right? The judgment seat of Christ. You're not such a modern Christian that you don't know what I'm talking about. Judgment seat of Christ, the white throne judgment, following Paul. Jesus Christ died, buried, and rose again. And now he's taken his teachings to the Gentiles, which are different than what he taught to the Jews, because he wants the Jews to realize what they've missed. So he goes to the Gentiles with the goodness of God. You do know this. You are aware of these things. Well, surely you are. And you don't, like in Romans chapter 2, surely you don't despise the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering. No, you wouldn't be that way, would you? You do know that it's the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. You do know that, right? Well, sure you do. So you should know then, is don't reject the Gospels. Read them as history. Of course it's there. Don't change the verses in the Gospels. It really changes them terribly. And then don't teach them with signs for gain. That's Mark. That's Matthew. That's the Great Commission. That's already taken place. That's what Acts chapter 1 through 8 is. And when they got done with the Great Commission in chapter 8, they killed Stephen. You do know about the story of Stephen being killed, right? Well, sure you do. You've been taught that in your church and Sunday school, haven't you? Maybe you just learned tonight, I've talked about this, I think probably 80 programs worth here, that the law, and certainly don't teach Paul's teachings as law, should I say suggestions? Should I say recommendations? Call it what you want, but it's not the law. And going back to the Gospels, that's the law to the Jews. He's passed all that. By the way, the Gospels will come back into effect during the tribulation, because they'll have to go by the law again. Really? Yes. Let's go here to Galatians chapter 3. Shouldn't take you long to find Galatians. You know where Galatians is at, right? Okay. Galatians chapter 3, and it says here in verse 23, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. But what faith was revealed afterwards? The faith of Jesus, not our faith. They've always had to have faith. People have always had to have faith. Even in the Old Testament, it said in Habakkuk that they had their own faith. They were justified by their own faith. But the faith that was revealed to the Gentiles through the risen Savior, well, that's his faith. So then it says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith, not our faith, but by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not like being a peacekeeper in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's Jewish stuff. People that think they're peaceful Christians nowadays, and they want flowers and have guns, and they just love everybody, hunky-dory, smoothie, I call them butterfly Christians. They're just flying all over the place, dropping their little sweet powder on everybody. No, that's the Jewish stuff. We're Christians because of our faith and because of his faith. I know. I need to read the same two verses again. I read them all the time. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. He says in verse 20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And your Bibles, modern Christian, your Bibles say faith in Jesus Christ. They change that word of to in. And what they're doing? They're taking away the faith of Jesus Christ and replacing it with yours. Is your faith that strong? No. Matter of fact, Bunny Trail, then we'll stop here. We go to Acts chapter 2. So you get into the tribulation. They're going to have to walk the law and not take the mark. You know how hard that's going to be? It's never been done before. Nobody's been able to do it before except Jesus himself. It says in verse 17, "And it shall come to pass in the last days," this is during the tribulation now, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." So in the tribulation, God will pour his spirit upon their flesh. They will have the ability to do the right thing. They'll have the ability and the strength to not take the mark. They'll have the actual ability to walk the law because they'll have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. We don't have the Spirit of God upon our flesh. We have the Spirit in us. We've been cut away from our flesh. We've got our soul has been cleaned up, and he cuts away our spirit so we can have the Spirit of God in us, separated from that flesh. During the tribulation, they'll have to have the Spirit of God upon their flesh. That makes sense, doesn't it? Well, I never heard that before. Well, I'm sure you probably haven't, and I'm not being sarcastic or whatever. I know what pastors teach nowadays. They don't teach this stuff. And you can, I wish a pastor would call me. I wish a pastor, don't write to me and slam me with all your name calling and all this kind of junk. Been there, done that. You know, I've been that way, and I fought those kind of guys. Just open your Bible up, make an appointment with me, talk to me over the telephone, and be ready to flip those pages. Or better yet, pay me the gas money to drive down to Texas and I'll talk with you. I won't fly. I won't get past those security guards. And I'm not even sure I want to come to Texas because now you guys got that Ebola down there. I'm not sure I want to go down there and kind of hang around there. Up here, any Ebola germs are going to die in the air here in a couple weeks. So much safer. I think it'd be better if you pastors would come up here and see me. That'd be better yet. I'll even buy you lunch. You guys from Texas, you can get your oil and you can get your own gas free, and you can come up here and you can have some of our oil and gas free. So that's the way to do. Come on up here and talk to me. Okay, enough of that, whatever that's all about. It's just nice to be back on the air. I hope this thing recorded well. We'll get onto the program. We'll see how it works. Thanks to Matt Gray. He'll make this thing work, I hope. We will continue. Go ahead. Read the Gospels. Just don't reject them. Just don't change them. And just don't teach them as signs for gain. Don't teach them as the law. And we'll continue this program. Let's see, this program should air Friday. We'll continue this program on Monday. And I will hope to talk to you on Sunday morning with our Sunday morning broadcast. I guess they call them broadcasts. It's not a webcast. The Cup of Goodness program Sunday morning, we will be into Ephesians. I think it's chapter 5 is where we are. So we will talk to you then.